إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make shura, to consult with his companions in matters of importance before decision making. As we have mentioned many times before, this is one of the ways of training the Ummah, the people to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in terms of need, there was obviously no need for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult, because he was the recipient of revelation, of wahi. But what was intended here is to teach the methodology of going forward to the people who would not be receiving wahi, because the wahi ended with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it was recommended to him to make shura bainahum, to make shura, to consult with the companions. Now we find today in our organization and so on, we have majalis of shura, and we also make some shura at different levels. People sit down, they talk, they discuss and so on. But by and large, if you look at it, you don't find action happening out of it. What I have observed is, you have one of two things. One is that the shura itself is cosmetic. What is to be done or what was to be done is pre-decided before the shura. And then people come and they sit around and they talk, and everyone knows what's going to happen. Right? The classic examples are the so-called elections of leaders that happen in our organizations. No one, including the leader who has retired and who stands for re-election, no one, including him, is in any doubt of what the outcome of the election is going to be. So it's just a show, it's a sham, it's like a joke that everyone sits together and then they say, so-and-so has been unanimously elected. There was no need for the election, because in any case that was pre-decided. This is not the maqsad of any shura. This is a joke of the shura. The purpose of shura, the purpose of consultation, is to first and foremost, in an atmosphere of trust and mutual respect, to bring up and throw up every kind of dissent and disagreement that may exist in a particular matter. So whether it is brainstorming, whether it is airing out of dissent, the first purpose of the shura, of consultation, is this. And this is done in an atmosphere of mutual respect. The idea of dissent is not to curse each other and to say that, you know, you are a fool and you didn't even think of that. No. The purpose is that this is your point of view, I have a different point of view, so somebody else has a third point of view, someone else has a fourth point of view. And why is this possible? Because we have individual brains. All our brains are not working out of one server. We have individual brains, we are standalone instruments, and therefore each of us does have the capacity, and we should have the capacity, to look at something from multiple angles. That is what adds value. So this is the first purpose of the shura, to bring up all multiple forms of thinking about a particular issue which is at stake, and say, how can we address this? What are the potential possible solutions? What might be the apprehensions with regard to that? What are the aspirations with regard to the solution? What are some potential pitfalls and roadblocks? All of this must be discussed, and all of this must be dialogued in an atmosphere of safety, in an atmosphere of mutual trust. So that is the first purpose of the shura. After that, the purpose of the shura is to collaborate towards a solution. It's not for forming of parties, it is not for lobbying after the meeting. It is to collaborate, to come out with an action plan, and to actually implement that action plan. Now, collaboration is something which requires three things. The first thing that collaboration requires is personal competence. So everyone in that group who is collaborating must actually have personal competence and expertise in something. There is no sense in having a group member who has no competence, because that person, you are going to collaborate to do what? So there has to be something that you are capable of doing. So the personal competence is one of the major requirements. The second major requirement is humility. Is the opposite of personal competence. I am personally competent in this thing, but I have the humbleness and the humility to know that I am not competent in something else. And that is very important. Otherwise, we find in many of our shuras, we have people who are experts on every conceivable thing on the face of the earth, which is obviously not true. But the way they come across is that, you know, they have these definitive and highly opinionated statements about everything, which are stated loudly and clearly, and it's completely false. What they are saying also has no meaning, has no sense. The other day I heard a lecture by somebody who said that the Republicans and the Democrats, the two parties in the US, are actually only one party, and they are run by the Jews who are on top. And this is basic political science and basic political scientific theory that no organization will have only one party. They will always have two parties, both of which are really amounting to the same thing, and you know, they will scream at each other and so on and so forth, but at the end of it, it is still the same party. Now, I did my graduation in political science, and I'm trying to think, where did I read this theory? What happened? Where did I miss? Because I didn't read this theory anywhere. And this person is very strongly saying, well, you know, you people should read. I said, well, I agree. I mean, I agree. I think you should read, starting with yourself. Because where is this theory from? This might be an interesting thing to do if you think about it. But I can give you a million examples where this is not true. And to say that it's the Jews who are running the show and so on and so on. I mean, all of this is just sort of, you know, shallow thinking without due diligence in something, without personal competence, just to using keywords. If you're talking to Muslims and you say that the Jews are the root cause of all problems, then believe me, then nobody will disagree with you. I mean, this is anywhere in the world, you're talking to a bunch of Muslims and you want to blame the Jews for everything, from why you are not getting rain to why your chickens are not laying eggs. The Muslims are very happy to blame the Jews for the reason. Oh, my chickens are not laying eggs. You know why? That's the Jew, Zionist conspiracy, that my chickens should not lay eggs. How long we are going to live in this fool's paradise, I don't know. Anyway, so the point is that if you want to collaborate, personal competence is very important. Second thing is the humility to accept that I don't know. I am expert in my area, alhamdulillah, but in this other area, I do not know, and so I have to go to you and ask. And not ask as your boss, no, ask as a student. He said, please explain to me, how does this thing work? So, personal humility. And third one, very, very important, is the actual willingness to work with another person. And to work with another person means the willingness to take instruction from that person. Work with does not mean I am also a leader, you are also a leader. You know, hum bhi thakur hai, aap bhi thakur hai. Nahi rahte, do thakur nahi rahte. Ek thakur raha to uska ek chamcha rehna padta. So, the willingness to obey somebody. The willingness to take instruction from somebody. These are three absolutely critical requirements for collaboration. If we do these three things, then inshallah we can collaborate. So shura is not just simply some, you know, sort of magic word that we have, and whichever group we have, we call this majlis of shura and our job is done. Nothing is done. There's no majlis. Just because you put an Arabic name to something, it doesn't mean it will work. Right? The point is that if you really want to have a majlis of shura, then these four conditions must be satisfied. One is that the discussion must be in an atmosphere of mutual respect, and it must be a completely open, frank discussion with all forms of dissent that must come on the table without any blaming game being played. Number one. Number two, personal competence of individuals. Otherwise, if the person is not competent, the person should not be in that shura. Second one is the humility to accept that, yes, I don't know, or I may be wrong in a particular case. And the third one is the willingness to work with somebody and take instructions. So if someone says, go push the car, you go push the car. You don't say, no, I am so-and-so, I am the king of the place. No, you push the car. That's your job right now. You may be the king, but the thing that we need from you is for you to push the car, so push the car. So these are the four requirements of shura. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see things, recognize things, and to bring about change in our lives, and to accept and open our eyes to the fact that whatever is happening to us is not the conspiracy of the Jews or of RSS or BJP or whoever. It is our own doing. We are our own, as they said, I met the enemy and he is me. And that's an absolute unfortunate reality. You want to go and see who is the enemy of the Muslims, go look in the mirror. There's no other place to see. Go look in the mirror and you know who is the enemy. So let's get out of this blame game and let us own responsibility for ourselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that ability, gave us the sense to understand. Let's open our eyes and let us learn to work together and to collaborate. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.